Everyone loves a good comeback story, right? Seabiscuit, the Mighty Ducks,
Robert Downey Jr.,
Rocky.
Else?
Yes.
Kim Kardashian.
Kim, well.
In the video, she gets come on her back, I think.
Pop culture meltdown.
Fun fact, bolts of lightning can shoot out of an erupting volcano. It's a little fun fact brought to you by me, Chris Libertini, Pop Culture Meltdown. Lou is on vacation, coming back next week. Got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about porn conventions today here on Pop Culture Meltdown. And we do it with street reporter Adam Glenn.
Journalist Adam Glenn. Yeah, let's make, it's not on the, yeah, now he sounds like I'm a, yeah, make sure you consider me a street journalist so people don't think you have a porn star right on the show.
Yes, he's a fantastic guy. Met him a bunch of years ago at SiriusXM. He's been on a three-letter television show about entertainment for a while, and now he's doing his own thing. And comedian, talented guy over here.
I'm having fun, man. Things are going pretty well right now. I'm having like this very interesting kind of life. Like
okay.
My days and my nights are just fun. They're exciting. It's cool. Like this morning, I just interviewed Mark Wahlberg. That was awesome. I talked to Mark Wahlberg this morning. And who am I? I'm just a schmuck who's riding a bike around the city.
So now Mark Wahlberg's in New York City. And what was he in New York City for, if you know what I'm saying?
I think he's promoting some movie with Rose Byrne. He's
okay.
Promoting some movie, and I got my tipsters, my connection. Someone hits me up, says where he's going to kind of be, and
right.
I kind of rode my bike over, got there at the right time, and whipped out my camera, interviewed Mark Wahlberg, and we had a cool conversation. I've talked to Mark Wahlberg a bunch of times on camera. He's a great guy. He's a cool guy, and it's always like really calm. Like it's like, what's up, buddy? And he understands the business. He understands like, hey, listen, I'm going to give this guy a minute of my time, and that's all. And you know, because he gave me a minute of his time, I'm able to eat tonight. That's really what it is. So
that's awesome.
And I'm not asking him anything like provoking. I'm asking him just kind of fun, cool questions. That listen, he's doing the rounds promoting something. I'm helping him promote something.
Right.
And he's helping me afford health insurance.
Of course.
Yeah.
Totally. So when you talk to the big stars, you ask them. You're obviously very, very courteous to them. You're helping them promote their. Whatever movie, whatever glam lip gloss line they're doing this week or whatever
sure.
It is. But they obviously are friends with you on some level in the fact that they're like, all right, this guy's not going to try and screw me in and give me bad press.
Yeah, I hope, like, I probably consider myself friends with them. They probably just think of me as some guy with a camera who always bothers them when they're in New York City. But it's like an understanding. But some of these people are like, they're cool. Like, when I see Mark, it's like, you know, people don't see. I actually spoke to him real quick before the camera started. I'm like, yo, what's up, buddy? Like, I follow him on social media, and it's like, you know, someone you always run into, and I'm that guy who always runs into in New York. So it's just like, eventually you have to talk about address the elephant in the room. And like, I was like, dude, what's up? And I just talked about something he posted on social media. It's like, it's cool. It's just an understanding, and he's cool. Like, it's not like I have his phone number. It's not like he tips me off by any means. I wish he did. I wish I had his phone number, but it's more like, it's cool. It's just like a fun run in for both of us. I think he enjoys me, my questions. And in some ways I feel like I'm helping him. I'm helping him promote whatever he's working on. So it's cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you had a great social media video that you just showed me a little while ago. That's at Adam Glenn, ADAMGLYN.
Correct. Yes,
I got that right?
I post a lot of my stories. I'm a big story guy. Not as a poster, a story guy.
Absolutely.
I don't want
hilarious.
That stuff to harm me.
I was watching your stories this past weekend, and you're absolutely hilarious. You were at this place called Exotica, which is a porn convention here in New Jersey. It's in Edison, New Jersey, at the Edison Exposition Center. And sex workers are there, regular porn stars are there, and it's just a cornucopia of craziness.
It's amazing. I mean, listen, I'm not a porn addict by any means, but it's just hysterical.
Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself, Adam.
It's funny, though. It's absolutely hysterical. I mean, it's great people watching because there's some very, very interesting people there. And just to see the people that go and show and then the people that are the exhibitors to the way the porn stars and it's just so funny to walk around and see. I mean, you're talking about as soon as I walk in, there's people getting dominated. You know, there's like a dominatrix with getting there. People are getting whipped and spanked and
sounds like
tied
one of my
up.
Dates over here.
Yeah. But it's like, it's so funny. And you walk around the room and you see all these porn stars that, you know, I've maybe seen once or twice on the little screen.
The silver screen.
Yeah,
right,
the little like, screen. The, you know, the laptop or the iPhone sometimes, depending on how late at night.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, it's hysterical. It's fun and it's funny. And it's funny how I started going to it. So this is the long story.
Talk to me.
How I even got my job years ago, how I got my job and started being a street reporter was in 2009 or 2010. I think it might have been 2009, 2010. I was a golf caddy at the time, and a buddy invited me to a porn convention. I said, listen, I would love to go, but I was so broke at the time, I couldn't even afford a ticket. So I went to the website, and like the tickets were like $80, and I could not afford it. And what I did was I waited till like the last second. I wrote an email to the PR company representing it. I wrote a fake email, and I wrote down a fake outlet, and I said, hey, my name's Adam Glenn from WBLJ 90.3. I want to cover the event. It's all about new technology in the industry. Right away, they sent me a media pass, and they're like, okay, here's your media credential. Here's two media credentials. Blah, blah. I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh my God, it worked. Like, this is so stupid. This is so ridiculous. So I show up to the event, me and my buddy, I bring a buddy with me, and we bring like an old school camera, like your dad's camera that he's, you know, shot your like T-ball games on.
Right, right.
And we show up and we just kind of like walked around, and we had a press pass. So we were like, walked around and joined the event first. And then we just started messing with people and just started like talking to people. And people were like, because there's no media at the porn event. Especially 7 years ago. There's more now, but back then there was no. So everyone's excited for seeing this guy with a camera. Like, oh my God, we'd love to talk to this media. And I just started bullshitting with people. Okay, curse?
Is it cool? Of course.
Okay,
yes,
cool.
Course,
so yeah. I started bullshitting with people. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, like, we made a video. The video got pretty funny and fell into this guy who worked at TMZ at the time. He loved it. I met with the guy and he was like, listen, you should work for, you know, TMZ. And I said, listen, I'll do anything for health insurance. And he got me an interview, and that's how it all kind of came together. So every year I go to this porn convention and just bring a camera and just mess around just for my own purposes, because it's just so funny and it's interesting. It helps out my interview skills.
Totally.
And it's just great.
And what's great about you is that, you know, first, you're a jovial guy, you're a nice guy, but it's amazing to me because, okay, so Adam's there, he's got the camera, and then he's got a microphone in his hand with no cord,
no batteries, nothing. It's a fake microphone. It's not even plugged in.
Right.
It's not even a camera. This year we just brought my buddy's cell phone. We're like, dude, let's not even bring a camera. Let's do a cell phone. So we're walking around with a cell phone, interviewing porn stars like Evan Storm and
Evan Stone.
Yeah, yes. Sorry, there's
it's okay.
I don't know if Stormy Daniels was there, but no, she wasn't. But like, you know, Evan Stone's there, Tara Patrick's there, Ava Devine's there, Bonnie Rotten's there. Like every single porn star is there. And I'm just sitting there talking to all of them and all like the other different ones there, the random ones, like the BBW girls,
right,
with a fake microphone, a broken, it's not even working. It's just a fake microphone and a cell phone.
It is amazing.
And the interviews
were
actually really good.
They were amazing. And the craziest part is, like, you don't really hear. You got to obviously listen in because, you know, he's using a fake mic.
Yeah, it's not work. It doesn't work.
But, like, you're such a nice guy playing a prank, and they like you too. Like, the subject who you're interviewing likes you as well.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody's kind of in on the joke, but they don't know it's a real joke.
No, but it's so stupid. But yet again, it's funny, and it's also interesting. It was like, my buddy was like, dude, that was a really good interview. Can you send that to me? Like, he's like, he was learning how the male porn scenes go for male porn stars. So
right.
He was like, dude, thank you. Like, that was great. And, you know, again, I don't really go for like the mainstream girls. I want to go for like the amateur ones, the BBW, the ones who are just more interesting and funny. And it's
very
just,
much so.
I'm not asking them that filthy questions. Like, I'm just always asking about like, you know, what's the worst thing that ever happened on a porn set, you know, and everyone's got a great story about that. And I found an amazing, actually, Evan told me this. This is kind of graphic.
Sure. Evan Stone
told me an amazing thing. He was like, dude, everything that happens on porn sets, it's all fake. And now this, how graphic can I get on this?
Get as graphic as you possibly can.
So when he told me, when it comes to a woman, like when it comes to she's squirting,
mm-hmm.
it's not really squirting. He says what it is the women put a wet, right before they do it, they put a wet douchebag in their vagina, and that's what they do. They
kind of
play
with
it. That's what squirting is, just the wet douchebag kind of coming out to make it watery and stuff like that. I was like, oh my God. He goes, there's been a few women who've done that, but a lot of times, majority of the time, it's just a wet douchebag. It blew my mind. They're like, oh my God.
They've been lying to me.
They've been lying to me. I wish I didn't hear that story.
Well, they actually have girls that are squirters.
Yes.
You know, they're like known for squirting.
Yeah.
So I guess they know the tricks of the trade. You know, every single one of them does the enema the night before.
Yes.
Or the day of.
They clean themselves out.
And then, I mean, it really is you're a porn star. You know, you're putting on a show.
Yeah.
You know, get the guys take, I'm sure, pills for their, you know, to keep strong, it hard, yeah, or to keep the load big or the whole
and
deal.
You know what I found out is that the women are usually the ones casted, and then they are asked, what men do they want to work with?
Really?
So they kind of work with a lot of the same guys. That's why you don't see a lot of like different guys in there, because women like to work with the same guy because they know what it's getting. It's not like it's very
right.
professional. And yeah. I was like, wow, that's really interesting.
So the girls are cast first, and then they choose, and they're like,
for the most part,
we want Johnny Rotten,
exactly,
or we want
Evan,
whomever.
Yeah,
Evan
yeah,
Stone.
They want Evan Stone. So I thought that was really interesting. I was like, wow, that makes sense. So
what amazed me about your weekend was, you know, at the Exotica, the porn convention, was that you're sitting there and people are getting slapped, and you walk up to this girl getting slapped and you go, can you just say hi to mom and dad real quick?
Hey, mom. I did this one thing which I wish I took more video of. Like, that was fun, but it was a little mean because I don't want to ruin their experience because they're getting spanked.
Of course.
The one I did love is that there's porn stars all around.
Right.
And they're taking photos with guys, and the guys have to pay to take a photo with their favorite porn star.
Yes,
so they have to pay like $10. But the thing is, these girls want to make the photos as crazy as possible, like the guy like squeezing their ass, because the more you go crazy, the more guys will want the photo, the more money you'll make. So like right when a girl, like the porn star's meeting a guy, and the guy puts his arm around the girl and starts to squeeze their ass, and you gotta remember, these guys are a little strange and a little creepy. Needless to say, I'm a little strange and creepy if I'm there too. But right as the guy is like squeezing the porn star's ass, I'm like, yo, that's my sister, and just freak them out. And everyone just got so uncomfortable for that one quick second to see their face, because it's like asses they've never felt before. The one time they get to squeeze their favorite porn star's ass, I'm like, yo, that's my sister. And just
like, you're
oh,
like
man.
Standing, and you're like standing a foot from them. So
yeah.
Like you're right up in their grill.
Especially because like sometimes like I would do, sometimes there would be like a porn star or a stripper like stripping on like the side thing, and everyone's got their phone out, they're taking video, and you know, there's probably like 30 dudes with their phone out, and I would just scream out, yo, that's my sister, and just ruin their video, make everyone feel weird for that one quick second. And that's what I work for, is the one quick second to make everyone feel uncomfortable and
it's
funny.
Amazing. So growing up, you know, you watch Skinamax, you watch all these porn, and now you're sitting there with Evan Stone having a conversation like two guys, you know, you just went to Harold's Deli outside, you know, you get a big sandwich, you come back, you're speaking to Evan Stone about porn, and you're sitting there on a weekend. You ever just pinch yourself and you're like, this is my life. This is what I do.
It's just so funny for him, because here's the thing with Evan. You know, I've seen him more naked than I've seen myself. You know, like it's like one of those guys. Like, dude, I think like your parents tell you about the birds and the bees, but I feel like you learn how to do it from guys, from him.
Yeah,
you know, because your parents don't tell you to go in and out, in and out. Like,
yep.
Evan's the one showing you how it's done. So my parents might have told me the birds and the bees, but Evan actually showed me how it was done.
That's a great point.
So it's funny to see his interactions with people, because guys walk up and thank him, and then they ask him for advice, and he's like very proud. He's not a tall guy either.
Yeah, he's a
like,
short dude.
He's short.
Yep.
He's like 5'9". He's sort of like round everywhere. Like, it's just kind of, he's a funny guy to look at, you know. It's just, but he
embraces it.
Oh, he totally embraces it.
He even looking at him doing porno, like even like they show like the outtakes, and he's like getting into it, like even the outtake and even the acting and all this other stuff. It just must be amazing to sit there and talk to these guys about that and try and keep a straight face the whole time.
It's funny because you see him, you see how literally, like, porn stars, like, the women go up to him, and they're just, like, they're, like, looking up to him. Like, these are, like, young girls and stuff like that, and they love him. They love him. And it's, like, it's weird because, like, he's had sex with all the women there.
Easily.
And I asked him, like, he told me how many women he's had sex. Like, I mean, you're talking about, like, in the thousands. Like, you know, that's what
say.
He's done. And
I would say.
It's just so bizarre. And you know what? Credit to him. He told me he's not slowing down anytime soon.
Good for him. That's awesome. Well, that's fantastic. Speaking of somebody that's not slowing down anytime soon, let's talk about Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson was on SNL this past week imitating Dan Crenshaw. And Dan Crenshaw, obviously, he was a veteran. He had an eye patch, and they went on and they made fun of him.
Yes, that made a lot bigger news than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, especially for SNL. I feel like every time SNL does an episode, the next day it always makes some sort of news. And I don't know if that's the NBC PR people kind of putting that thing together so people watch it now on YouTube or try to talk about it. But it's interesting, like, who's the one really watching SNL? It's crazy how much news SNL makes.
I think it's a great thing because it's a social commentary on what's going on now. And I think that if you do something and people pick it up and they actually pay attention to you.
Yes.
Amazing. I think that's what you're looking for. You know, do you have any interactions with Pete at all?
Pete, I've known actually Pete since he was 14 years old.
Amazing.
I started doing stand-up with him. I remember our first show we ever did together was at a bowling alley in Staten Island. Pete's a really nice guy. You know, he's a good guy. I've known Pete since he's 14 years old. He's a great guy. He's a cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's actually, the one thing I'll get really kind of, Pete was like, follow me on Instagram, and then he like defollowed me.
Whoa.
And I was like, whoa, what, Pete? I didn't do anything. Like, I was kind of like caught off guard, kind of like, Pete, what was up with that? You know, I was kind of upset about that, but... And I never like, and he knows what I do. And actually, I feel like we were supposed to get lunch a while ago. We were supposed to get lunch because I guess he wanted to hear the stories about like what I do. And if, you know, he's a guy who's dealt with the media a lot in the past year. Like he,
right.
Now he's, you know, he's a guy who I would never paparazzi because he's a friend and I know him.
Mm-hmm.
But now the paparazzi's after him, and you
right.
know he's become a big story and a big news person for a lot of these paparazzi, and
mm-hmm.
I've never ever dealt with that stuff because I never, you know, again, he's my buddy. I'd rather help him than hurt him. And
of course.
What I wish I could have a conversation with, and I've had a conversation with his friend saying, listen, dude, if he needs anything, wants to help me control maybe some dialogue to, you know, like I'll 100% do it, like put out the good stuff and want to be a guy in his.
That's cool.
You know, he's a good person. Listen, I've known him for a long time and he's a good guy. He's always been nice to me and we just always have a good relationship. We're cool. Like we're cool guys. As far as him dealing with the SNL thing and everything, I mean, it's just crazy how much that blew up, that story.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like what it was media outlets just looking for people to make a story like, oh, man, let's get a reaction from this guy to
yep.
see if he's pissed off.
Yep.
And of course, this guy being a politician didn't say anything back like, hey, you know, this is what it is. I hope you do something for the vets and made it into a political message. And at the end of the day, he's just trying to have funny. Pete's just trying to be funny.
Right.
And you know what? Some people find it funny. Some people don't. I found those funny. I know he wasn't trying to be hurtful. And that's what they do on SNL. They make
right.
fun. They do parody. That's what it is. It's just having fun and making fun.
Right.
He did nothing, in my opinion, wrong.
I agree. And it's funny because, you know, looking at comedians in this day and age,
yeah.
as to 20 years ago, I'm 38 years old. So when I was 18 years old, they had these comedians on that could say anything. I think now you kind of can't say anything.
It's very, very difficult time for comedians.
Yep.
And I was talking to like someone pretty big recently, and it's like, it's hard. You know, your back's against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And
because who's going to stand up for you?
Who's going to stand up for you? And you know what? There's nobody to stand up for you because you're by yourself.
Yep.
And it's a David versus Goliath type thing. And mm-hmm. it's, you know what? It's being funny. You take a risk. And I guarantee if you made a lot of these jokes 15 years ago, they'd be funny.
Oh,
you
they'd
know?
Be
and
hilarious.
They'd be hilarious. But now... it's just scary, you know,
yep.
and it's scary because you don't know how it's going to turn.
Right.
I mean, I feel like everyone, and including myself, especially myself, you know, even when it comes to my Instagram stories, the porn convention, I was afraid to put some of that stuff on my Instagram story. Just the way people, I'm like, listen, I'm just having fun.
Right.
That's, you know, it's not malicious. They're having fun. And fortunately, no one found it offensive, the stuff I was doing. Like, they see that I'm doing it as charm and... that's if we're going to take the fun out of funny, no one's going to have a good time.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And they had a story about the kids in the hall. One of the writers from the kids in the hall said, you know, absolutely not. We can still say whatever we want. We could still do a satirical comedy right now, and it would still have the same catch as it would 20 years ago. But look at some of the comedians that are not going to do comedy anymore. Some of these people... can't do it because of the landscape, because of these people that are so touchy.
Lisa Lampanelli is now not even doing stand-up, really. She might be still doing stand-up, but she's doing like these like self-help workshops for like women and people on the weekends. Like, so it's like crazy. That's what it's come down to.
The Queen of Mean.
The Queen of Mean is
she
now
is
trying to
so,
help people.
So fucking talented.
So talented.
Like,
so
unbelievably
funny.
Talented. I was at one time, she was they inducted somebody into the Friars Club, right? So that's obviously a prestigious organization, quote unquote,
yeah.
the whole deal. I was a guest of somebody, thank God, they were nice. And she goes up there and she starts razzing people. Oh my God. It was 10 minutes, that's all she did. And she was razzing just whoever was sitting down in front of her.
And how was the reaction?
It was out of control. It was unbelievably funny. And she was razzing the guy that got inducted, and he was like 87 years old, sitting next to a 40-year-old wife, and she goes, you know, look at his, you know, look at this guy. He's beautiful, and look at her wife. And the only thing she's thinking is, when is he gonna die?
That's great.
It was,
I mean,
hilarious.
The best part is, like, you know, that was Don Rickles doing that years
yes!
ago. And, you know, if Don Rickles was there was a new Don Rickles come out in this era, people would, they, it wouldn't exist,
right.
You know? And it's just, it
and
just sucks.
They don't have the Teflon of the, of the, of the Lucille Ball and the Don Rickles and these people popping out these one-liners and these zingers and these jokes, because that's what they had. They had, like, their legacy to lean on. Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
She could say anything she wanted.
There's people to go after and there's people not to go after. Comedians
right.
are not the people to go after. They're very, most of them are very progressive,
mm-hmm.
and they're just trying to, again, they're trying to entertain. They're trying to put a twist, give a perspective. I mean, they're not, most times there might be a little bit subtle political rants in it.
Right.
But yet again, there's some charm to it, you know, and like, you know, Chris Rock had a joke, you know, said, I think they should make a bullet $5,000. $5,000. So in case someone gets shot, they're like, man, they must have did something wrong. Now, it sounds so, you know, like, it's ridiculous. Like, they're just, it's just trying to be funny and put a different spin on it and give a different perspective. Just back off. Have fun.
Yes.
Like, that's,
I think
again,
that
you're coming at the wrong people. You want to go, there's plenty of people on social media, political people, the correspondents, the people being interviewed. I mean, I feel like a lot of people, the broadcasters, the outlets, the networks, those are the people, that's the people you should have beef with. Comedians, at least they're trying to be entertaining in some way.
And they're trying to make you smile.
Trying to make you smile.
They're trying to make you. They are sitting there, like you're saying. It's David versus Goliath. You're sitting up there. There's a light in your face. You know, you're a stand-up comedian, and you're by yourself. There's nobody on that stage to hit your elbow and go, that was really good. That was good. That was a good one. Obviously, you have your brethren. You have your brethren behind stage. You have people watching you on stage. But while you're up there, it's you against the world.
You have to try out a joke, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that's the thing. There's no way you have the perfect joke. You have to try it out. And if you give a place where you can't try things out, then how do you expect things to evolve?
Right.
You know, it's not like every comedian is just trying to, you know, do shock value, or they're
mm-hmm.
trying to, you know, they're trying to just kind of, they weren't trying to figure out what's a way to not push your boundaries, but like, I want to touch on the subject that no one's really touched on. I want to give you a perspective that you never thought about, and that perspective is going to be funny.
Or it won't be. Or it won't be
or
funny.
Or it won't be.
Or, yeah, or it won't be, and we'll try and get through it. You know, like, there are plenty of stand-up comedians that you watch, and then they'll make the joke in the middle of their set, and they'll leave it in there, and they'll say something. They'll be like, well, that joke didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then they'll come back at it, or they'll say something funny to try and save their joke.
Sometimes when the joke doesn't work, it's just because the audience, laughing is contagious.
Right.
You know, if you're in a room and one person laughs, it kind of, you know, it's, here's a good example, improv. Improv comedy, I feel like, is the biggest, it's the biggest contagious room. If you do an improv comedy show, there's definitely some people who don't really like or enjoy it, but they laugh because they don't want to be the person who doesn't get the joke.
Exactly.
And same thing at a comedy club. Sometimes people laugh because they don't want to be the person that doesn't get the joke. And that's, you got to make people just laugh, have fun. I guarantee if we just laugh at it more than just try to say how much of it's an outrage, it's, we should we're focusing on the wrong things.
Adam Glenn, how do I define you again?
Street journalist, comedian. That's it.
Street journalist.
I'm sorry, I'm definitely not an entrepreneur. I'm just a dude just hanging out, having fun.
Street journalist and comedian Adam Glenn, absolutely fantastic to talk to you. The segment, well, the whole thing, we'll call it I'm Not a Celebrity. How about that?
Yes, I like it.
What do you think? I don't know. You're awesome, dude. You gotta run. You're going to Greenwich Village now. You gotta stalk some people, talk to some people. How do we talk about that?
I mean, listen, I'm getting the text message now. Robert Downey Jr. is eating lunch right now downtown in the West Village.
This
is my day. Like, I get text messages from my people, hit me up all day of who they ran into, who they see, and it's just kind of fun. I always said, like, I don't want to be running around chasing people. I want my phone to be kind of like a network where people reach out to me when they see them, and that's kind of like I'm like a Ghostbuster, like, do 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 do, and then I just come in and I find them. It just makes it much easier for me.
Excellent.
But it's kind of crazy. Like, this is the text messages I get all day.
Hey,
it's
brother,
just, it's so funny.
It's a charmed life, and you know, somebody's got to do it. And thank you so much. It's been awesome talking to you this past 25 minutes. Thanks again for coming on, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks again, man. We'll see you soon.
Pop Culture Meltdown.
If you'd like to email the show, email popculturemeltdown@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram at popculturemeltdown. Catch independent street journalist and comedian Adam Glynn on Twitter and on Instagram at Adam Glynn. Special thanks to myself, producer Laura Ponte. The voice of Pop Culture Meltdown is Dan Kelly, voice talent and one of the best human beings on the planet. For bookings, go to dankellyvo.com. Our graphic designer is Ricky Soto, Tim Einenkel with OG, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Rudsky. This has been Pop Culture Meltdown, Season 1, Episode 2, with Chris Libertini and Lou Pellegrino.
They are intelligent. They are smarter than the most up-to-date supercomputers. We cannot underestimate it.